You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Notice again in Psalm 109, David is wanting God to answer him. He's wanting God to respond to him because in verse 1, he tells God, do not keep silent. And you can tell by the way David is talking to God that David has a good relationship with God. He has actually a solid relationship with God because he know God to be a God that will speak, that will respond. And so this is a time in David's life, notice that he is calling upon God not to be silent. Lord, don't be silent right now. Help me. How many have ever gotten yourself into something and you may not say it the same words to God, but you was in that vicinity, in that you needed to hear from him. And you didn't need him to be silent. You didn't need him to sit back. You needed God to show up and do something that you could not do for yourself. I wonder, has anybody ever prayed to God with an urgency like that? I wonder, have you ever had to go before God and you just let it all out to the point to where you told God, Lord, I need you right now. I need you to tell me what to do right now. Lord, I need you to deliver me right now. Lord, I need for you to make a way right now. Lord, I need healing to manifest right now. See, the only folk that clapping the folk that know that's real right there, that sometimes we get caught up in situations that we really need God's help immediately. Lord, I need you to do something before today is over. Lord, I'm calling on you. I need you to move before the week is out. And some of you are wondering, can you talk to God like that? Yes, you can ask God for some immediate help, immediate assistance. God, step in right. You need to shout it like you need some help, right? Lord, if you don't help, they're going to take it. Lord, if you don't help, I need you right now. Sometime a prayer warrior would go to God, not just for him or herself, but can go on behalf of somebody else. Lord, my sister needs you right. This family needs you right. The church needs you right. Leaders need you right. Pastor needs you right. It's an urgency. An urgency. And so he speaks to God, saying to the Almighty One, do not keep silent. See, David actually want God to speak because people have opened their mouth against him. And not just anyone. Notice again in the text, David said, do not keep silent, O God of my praise. Lord, you know I love you. You know I'll appreciate you. You know I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. But now, God, I don't need you to be silent because of what I'm going through. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened up against me. See, it's amazing. Sometimes we don't mind folk opening up their mouth about us. It just depends on what they're saying or what's coming out of their mouth. You know that's right. You don't mind folk opening up their mouth against you as long as they're saying what you're in agreement with. Some of us like for folk to brag on us. We like for folk to talk about us. We like to be the talk of the town, if you will. But they're saying what we desire for them to say. But Pastor is teaching you tonight that sometimes people will open their mouth against you with the intent of hurting you, injuring you, even destroying you. They're not only talking about me, Lord, but what they're saying about me is damaging. And so he needs God's help. Notice what he said. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Now, there are some folk that don't know how to lie. Even when they try, they mess it up. And nobody gonna really believe them. Y'all, why y'all looking like, you know some folk that tell lies, and because of the way they tell them, you ain't gotta worry about nobody halfway believing what they talking about. But then there are some people that will fabricate something, that will just make up something, and watch this, and they're so good at mixing truth with, oh, Lord, y'all, I should have got more amen then. You know a good liar know how to throw some truth into it to grab folks' attention. Even though the other 90% of what they're saying is a lie, they know folk will just concentrate on the two. See, like folk can lie about me. They can say that I was somewhere that I wasn't and that they saw me doing something that I wasn't doing. But they know some of you ain't going to buy that unless they mix a little truth with it. And so then they say, yeah, I saw your pastor at such and such place. He was clean. He was sharp too when he got out. And he was in this little blue, nice little blue sports car. And he went into such and such place and I seen him in there doing such and such. Now you going to begin to say, well, he do drive a little blue car. And the man sure enough stay clean every time you see him. So ain't no doubt that they really seen him because pastor gonna be looking good. You know how he is. But see, you have to be careful about liars because that's what Satan does. Satan mixes truth with lies in order to deceive or to confuse a person. And many of us that used to lie, we knew the whole thing couldn't be a what they call a bald-faced lie. They wasn't going to buy. And so even you learn how to mix some truth in it. Bottom line, lies hurt folk. Lies damage families, damage churches. I'm right about that. You know the old saying, sticks and stones will hurt my bone, but words can never hurt me. Words hurt. Words damage people, especially lies. That's the reason when you speak a thing, you need to know what you're saying is true. And if you only got some of the fact, you really need to keep quiet until you get the other half of what's. But you know, some of y'all like to talk even though you only got half of it. We've all been guilty. You never told somebody something, then they ask you something. You're like, well, I don't know about that now. I don't know about it, but I do know what I'm saying. So you know half. Instead of just saying, you know what, I don't know everything about that. I wasn't there. So some of y'all giving your opinion about what happened up in Ferguson. You ain't never been to St. Louis. Well, Pastor, I saw it on TV. Don't you know they edit stuff? Most of the time you see something on TV that you actually seeing what they want you to see. All them folk doing. Them folk just riding. Them folk crazy up there. Them folk doing it. You been to St. Louis? No, but I seen it last night. Do you know you had folk praying? You had prayer groups up there. But they didn't put the camera on them. See, I'm just teaching them. We have to be careful because sometimes, though you may not mean to lie, you can get off into something that you don't know what you're talking about. But these folk are purposely lying on him. Notice they have surrounded me with words of hatred. You know, there are some folk when they begin to use words of hatred toward you, again, you really don't have to worry about them. You don't. I mean, there are some folk tonight that can tell me, yeah, next time I see him, you tell him I'm going to get him. You tell him we going hand to hand about what he said. Now, depending on who they are, man, I ain't worried about that. I'm just going to tell you, look, you tell them you better be careful because I know I can take them. Oh, I'm pretty sure. I ain't even worried about it. I wish it would. Think about a man threatening me that's about 3 foot tall. I mean, I wish he would. But now there are certain threats that can come from certain folk. And now you got me thinking. You know why? Because when I think about this person, I know him or her to be crazy. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. There are some folk that threaten you. You ain't got to worry about that. They going to shoot you. They don't even know how to use no gun. You ain't even got to worry. But then there are certain folk that not only threaten you, but they will do whatever they can to make good on what they said. How many of you had somebody threaten you and walking to school hall or walking wherever, getting in and out your car? You were like, you just don't know when they going to try to make good on this. Come on, y'all. I'm going to take y'all all the way back in the day. When certain folk threaten some of us, we didn't go to club that night by ourselves. No. We made sure. We were calling up folks. You want to go tonight? They, man, I ain't got no right. Hey, I'll come get you. Hey, we're going to roll through there. You want to be heavy when you go up in there, because the threat that you had received, you knew the people would try to make good on it. Why are you teaching this to us, pals? Because there are certain folk that will threaten you, and without the help of God, you're no match for them. See, there are some folk that will attack you, that if God don't help you, you don't have the power, you don't have the resources, you don't have the intelligence to fight against them. And so if God does not show up on your behalf, you're going to get your end whipped. Whether you talking physical, or you talking something like the IRS messing with you, trying to push you around. There are some people we're no match for. And we need God's help. Come on, y'all. They got too many resources. Lord, if you don't show me what's going on, show me their tricks. Show me their schemes. Show me from which way they coming. See, sometimes if you pray right, God will tell you how your enemy is trying to defeat you. He'll tell you when they're coming, how many going to be with them, and what you need to do in order to defeat them. So that you don't just sit there like a bump on a log, just waiting to get your end whipped. You need to be praying so that you'll know how to fight, how to properly resist this enemy. Because I'm not just going to sit there and wait for somebody to show up and kill me or hurt me and I'm not doing anything. If lies are hurting me, I want to know, God, how to handle this. There's some good teaching tonight. Because notice what David said. He said, they have fought against me without a cause. See, right there tell you he's dealing with crazy people. Normal folk don't fight folk for no reason. Normal people don't lie on folk for no reason. So you saying some of us have been abnormal. I'm trying to make the text real. You don't just tell a lie on somebody you don't even know. See, David was saying not that they didn't know him, but they didn't have a legit reason to come against him. So, Pastor, if they didn't have a legit reason from a natural standpoint to come against this righteous man, why then come against him? Because sometimes it has been allowed or permitted by God. And then none of y'all accept it over here. Let me say it to my middle section. I said, sometimes folk will come at you and it has been allowed or permitted by God. God is allowing it to happen. He's allowing it to be said. I got your attention now. Because some of us, when folk get to come to us and we really know we hadn't did anything to them, the first thing we tell God, Lord, why did? And we get to feeling sorry for ourselves, not recognizing that as a righteous person, sometimes we are persecuted because of who we live for. You can be persecuted in a workplace because of what you stand for. you can be singled out and targeted because you don't get with certain things. You can be mistreated up in your own family because you don't do certain things. And because you ain't like everybody else, people try to find a way to pick on you. To talk about you on the sly. To say different stuff about you. See what happened with David. Now, David wasn't no perfect man by a long shot. But these enemy David tellers, the things they're doing, there is no reason. It's without a cause. Because notice what he said in verse 4. In return for my love, they are my accusers. In turn for me doing good, they doing evil. See, this reason I got to teach this, because as a child of God, sometimes you are going to do right by people, listen, who are intentionally going to do wrong by you. God will have you go out of your way for somebody and then permit or allow that same person that you just went out of your way for, I mean, all out your way, all just, so somebody just say all out your way, all out your way. I wanted you just went all out of your way. Just, the old folks say just bent over. Now, you know when you're bending over backward. Now, good God, some of us, it's hard to bend over front. Now, you talking about bending over backwards for somebody? God ain't going to allow. The more mature you get, God will let people come at you and won't even permit you to say nothing. See, the problem, most of us, we think we got a right to always say something because that's our child, because that's my husband, that's my wife, that's my boss. I don't care. Sometimes God will tell you to shut your mouth. Don't even say a word. Go to Matthew 27. Now, go to Matthew 26 first. Go to Matthew 26. Boy, I'm enjoying myself tonight. We need this kind of teaching. I said, we need this kind of teaching. Amen. Well, Pastor, everybody treat me wonderful. You real ignorant. I'm just going to tell you, everybody don't like you. I said, everybody don't like you. Look at your neighbor and say, everybody ain't in love with you. Tell your neighbor, everybody smile at you. Don't like you. Look at somebody else and say it real just ghetto with me if you don't mind. Tell somebody, everybody that smile at you. Don't like you. I didn't say don't like you. See, some of us, we think everybody smile at us like us. No. Sometime a friend is somebody who will frown at you, and an enemy is somebody who will smile at you. The friend frowning because you did or said something wrong and they ain't going along with your mess, that's why they're a friend. But an enemy will smile at you, all the while reaching for a weapon. See, they know you're going to keep your eye on the smile. This comes from God right here for a reason. Now, notice Matthew 27. Go to 27. I don't know what I told you, but let's go to 27 first. Let's drop here first. Because if I don't show y'all this, some of you are going to be trying, that ain't no Bible. We can't do that. We can't do that, pal. Yes, you can. You can get here. And you can actually control your mind. A lot of folk don't realize. You can control what you think on. If you didn't, God led Paul to tell the church to think on these things. See, you can actually choose what you're going to think on. You don't have to just think on how bad somebody did you. You can choose to think on what good folk have done for you. You all with the power of what? Choice. That's when some of you make your day sad based upon what you choose to think on. You can easily flip it. Even if you get a bad report and it hurt, all you got to do is think about the number of times you got a good report. All you got to do is just say, I'm not going to dwell on the negative report. I'm going to think about the good report. So you choose what you're going. If you're depressed, it's because of where you have set your mind. If you stay angry too long, it's because of how you don't set your mind. And all of us have given in. We've given in. We've given in. I've had thoughts that I knew if I just go pray, if I just get in here and pray, if I get in the word. Notice Matthew 27. Yeah, Matthew 27 and verse number 12. Well, let's pick it up at verse number 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? This is when they got Jesus at trial now. He ain't did nothing wrong. We know that. Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, crooks, church crooks, religious crooks, religious hypocrites. See, some of the worst people, some folk you need to watch out for are church folk. Folk that know the Bible, but it don't stop them from doing and saying wrong things. I had a guy in my office about a couple of weeks ago told me, I got telling him something. He told me, I said, well, you know, I know the word because I grew up in the church. You know what I told him? I said, that's your problem. And then why was sitting right there, she said. I said, that's his problem. I said, he grew up in the church. He done become immune to the word. I said, some of the toughest folk to reach is people that know the word, but they won't do it. Because every scripture you quote, they know it. They just don't live it. Religious folk can be dangerous. Every week a preacher gets up in the pulpit and manipulates a congregation who know the word. But see, the preacher is twisting the word. He's using the word for his own benefit, for his own selfish gain. You can't say he don't know the word. How you going to say some of these hypocritical bishops and apostles don't know the word? These folk know the word. Come on, somebody. You have to be careful for folk. They try to tell you stuff. Now notice, let's keep going. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered what? Nothing. Now the accusations are false. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? Jesus, you ain't gonna say nothing and they saying all this? Did you do it? Did you not do it? Did you say it? Did you not say it? Do you not hear all this stuff that they're saying? He answered not a word. But he answered him not one word. Watch this. So that the governor marveled greatly. Why did the governor marvel? Because he hadn't really seen nobody. Because he had done his own research and he knew half the stuff they were saying were lies. But he looked at Jesus and said, you're not even given an answer. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, there are some lies. People can tell on you that you don't even need to respond to. You don't need to try to justify. But we are so quick when we hear somebody saying something about the, what you think. I was just telling you to see. See, sometimes our answer needs to be, I ain't got nothing to say about that. Because sometimes people tell you stuff because they want to know what you know about the person. Are you willing to put dirt on them? Since we telling you they spreading a little bit of your dirt. And I kept stuff about people that they were trying to put something out on me that I knew was truth on them. But God said, no, 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 no. See, that's some good teaching. Everything said about you, you don't need to try to run it down. You don't need to try to call up folks and look, I know what they saying out there, y'all, but I want y'all to know that ain't true because I said, some stuff you don't need to. Some things you don't need to justify with a response. How many of you ever been taught like this? Huh? I know what they're saying. What you got to say? Nothing. nothing. He answered him not a word. Why? Jesus knew, for this cause I've come into the world. This is part of my assignment. See, sometimes you got to let folk talk. You got to let them do what they do, because this is part of your assignment. God is making you by allowing people to put their mouth on you and don't want you to say a word. Because watch this. Because here's the truth of the matter. Again, sometimes we can answer. Sometimes we can do much more than answer. Sometimes we can get physical. Sometimes we can get just as manipulative as they are. One reason I believe I'm so blessed is because certain people that don't do right by me, I still do right by them. I still. Hold on. Listen. Because even they don't understand. Because I know it's a season that God is, it got me in where he's saying, you're going to be long-suffering. You know what it means to be long-suffering? To be patient with others. And sometimes God held me right there. He got me stuck to the point where sometimes I just be right there. I'm going to treat them how they treat me. Lord, no. No. Don't do it. Don't do it. You just keep loving them. Now go to Matthew 26. Because I want to show you sometimes we can do much more than that. Do y'all hear me? As you turn to Matthew 26. How many in here, you ain't ashamed to say you can still fight? You can still fight right now. You can fight real good. I mean, raise your hand. Women and men, come on, raise your hand. Some of these sisters in here can fight. Hands down. Now, that, from a natural standpoint, there are probably some sisters in here probably whoop some brothers up in here. Yeah, I seen women that I didn't know. I don't want none of that. I ain't finna fight you. You crazy. Call the law. And then the law get there. You a man. Who you? What wrong? She. I seen on Cop with this woman. A woman beat this man up so bad. It's one of my favorite episodes. And tied him up. When the police got there, she had beat him up and tied him up. The police let him loose, then took him to jail. And I looked at that woman. I said, man, what possessed you? He reached back and tried to hit the woman, but he was drunk and she wasn't. And when I tell you, See, that's the first thing the enemy want to tell you when people do you wrong, is that they don't know you. You ain't afraid of them. They done picked on the wrong one. You might as well. And see, that's the exact time when you need to know the will of God. No, you just need to know the will of God. Because I'm not saying there will not be a time when God will have you to get somebody told in the right manner. But I'm preaching tonight that there are times that God will tell you to do nothing. Notice Matthew 26. I'm almost done. But this is a good one right here. Notice I think I want to have you go to verse 52. Matthew 26, 52. But Jesus said to him, now this is when they didn't come to get Jesus. Peter didn't like it. Because you know, according to the scripture, Peter was like, he was like quick. Peter had a temple, really. How many know some folk that say they say, but they still got a temple? Boy, some of y'all live with folk. Why didn't you raise your hand? I gave you a good opportunity. You just sitting there. You know you live with some folk. If the truth be told, they quick tempered. They quick to say something. They quick to do something. Some of them quick to hit something. You'd be surprised folk got holes in their walls. But they say, but then punch some wall. Then broke their own dishes. You know you ignorant. Gonna tear up something. There have been times I wanted to hit something, but in my mind I knew I paid for that. I paid for that. And if I break it, I then gotta replace it. And the problem ain't went nowhere. It's the same way we're hitting on people. Folk that are physically abusive, the problem don't go nowhere. What good it do for a man to beat a woman down for cheating on her? Soon as she get healed, see, some of y'all women should have came off. Soon as she get back, she going right back. Come on. This is some good teaching. But see, Peter was quick-tempered.
So he grabbed a sword and cut the person off. But then Jesus said, then put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Now listen to what he tells them. This is what I want you to see. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father? He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. See, Jesus let Peter know, Peter, put that sword back in this. We ain't here to fight. But he had to let Peter know something. He told Peter, he said, do you not think, Peter, that right now, if fighting need to be done, can't nobody beat my Father. All I got to do is call him. He send the help, and we wipe all this out. But watch this. See, he knew it was something he could do, but it wasn't the Father's will. See, that's what I'm teaching us sometimes. When folk come against you, sometimes it ain't God's will for you to say anything or for you to try to retaliate or get revenge. And sometimes you'll want to walk away from people, but God won't allow you to. He said, no, you're going to be a little bit more long-suffering with them. And then you said, I can't stand them. I want that. Lord said, no, you're not, because I put up with you. I put up with you. You're going to go in there, and you're going to show them love, and you're going to show them kindness. Matter of fact, you're going to feed them again today. You're going to go by there and buy them another biscuit this morning. And so here you come to work. Hey, I got you another biscuit. And you didn't find it. But listen, in my clothes, why is that? Y'all be some folks saying, look at me like that. Devil is a lot. See, listen, we're disciples of who? Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus, right? And so sometimes we have to get in that same vein that the Lord got in. Why is that? Go to Psalm 34. I'm finna be done. Go to Psalm 34. I mean, Minister Wright prayed it before I even started teaching. She said, Pastor, I've been teaching on stuff that you might have been through, you might be going through now, you might, you know, in your future. Some of you ain't paying attention now. You just don't know what, if God should tell you, you don't know what next week hold. Everybody just treating you so good, but see, next week. Wouldn't it be a shame me stand here and do all this teaching and then you be the one nut up down at the post office? over a 45 cent stamp. Don't tell nobody you go to church up here. I thought you go to church. My pastor won't let me tell what church I'm from, but I do attend the church. There are pastors that went off on members. There are pastors known for cussing their members out. This stuff real. Now, that's one thing I can say. I ain't there cussing nobody out now. Psalm 34:19. See, that's what you got to realize as a child of God. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the what?
Right.
Many are the afflictions of the what?
Right.
Many are the afflictions of the who?
Right.
Many are the afflictions of who? Let's read that together on three. One, two, three. Ready, read.
Many are the righteous.
Come on, keep going.
So
we got to get 100 participation. Come on, Psalm 34:19. Ready, read.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all.
We're going to read it again. Ready, read. Many. So when it comes to the affliction, there are how many?
Many.
There are what?
Many.
There are what?
Many.
Listen, listen. Many from the sense that numerical, a number of things we go through. But many from the standpoint of variety. You're going to go through a number. See, let me tell you something. Some of you, your biggest problem is that if you think that if you get you a little bit of money, that you on easy road. See, some of you think tonight if you could just put your hand on $10,000, and all your bills paid and everything, you just, oh, God. That reason I get up here preaching about afflictions, most of y'all look at me like, what affliction? What affliction can he be going through? His light bill ain't due. I know it ain't. Look what he drive. I ain't buying it. Look what he put. And your church of end, you'll ride around through here and then slow down a little. Affliction. Man, don't know nothing about no affliction. Affliction. You see what he had on today? He ain't up there talking about he going through. What could he be going through, baby?
Honey, I don't know.
Yeah, hey, it's two other people here thought like that. Me and her. At one time, we just thought we get some money. Ain't nothing else to go through. Then got money. And wish to God you could go to that money. So I'm gonna pay this child off to act right. I'm gonna, here go you $5,000. You gotta act right the rest of your life. No. Afflictions come in varieties. See, some of what you're going through right now, this is an affliction that God is allowing for you to go through. You ain't did nothing wrong. But in the midst of it, listen, because I'm closing. If God permits it, he expects you to be an example in the midst of it. Where he get that from? Job. God allowed the devil to come at Job, but he wanted Job to be a what? An example. Tell your neighbor, I don't know where you're being afflicted. But if God has allowed it, if he has permitted it, and if you are mature, you should be an example for others in the midst of your affliction. Look at me. Whether that's financial, physical. See, a physical affliction don't give you the right to go around pole mouthing all the time. No, even if you've been afflicted physically, you need to put a smile on your face. You need to give God the praise despite the fact that you're hurting. God, this is good. Go back to Psalm 109. We close. That right there was just worth. That right there was so much wisdom. I'm telling you, that right there was a whole lot of wisdom. And then there are other people. God got you going through something where, you know, it just seemed like things just not going the way you want them to go. Just that simple. You just so much want it to go this way, but it's just like it is not going that way no matter what you do. See, in the midst of that, you need to rejoice. In the midst of that, you need to be a good example to people. You cannot be a good example to folk if you are so only when things go your way. See, God needs people that will know ain't nothing going the way they would desired it to have went today, but they still came to church. Came to church anyhow. Gave God the praise anyhow. Be or do, but still praise him. Got a negative report, still clapping. Didn't get the answer they wanted, still rejoicing. See, now you're an example for somebody. You're an example. Many of us have gone through in our marriages. We didn't just book up, leave, and divorce. In the midst of that woman acting a fool. Well, my brother didn't say nothing. I know it, sir. These brothers so scared. Y'all something got them. So y'all done frightened them. They couldn't even say amen, Pastor. Watch this. In the midst of them brothers acting a fool, women. See, these women don't mind letting folk know some of y'all acting a fool. Y'all the one gonna sit up there and act like they don't ever do nothing. I'm laying out some good teaching tonight. Because for married folks, sometimes you'll be in something. I'm done. That was it. That was the final straw. And then God said, you ain't done with nothing. You ain't done with nothing. Well, Lord, what I'm going to do? Go in there and cook him some something to eat. I got to close. Psalm 109. But Pastor, how can I do all this? How can I not fight? How can I not retaliate? How can I not get in the flesh? Right here in my clothes. Right here in my clothes. Help me, oh Lord. Say, tell your neighbor, it ain't deep tonight. It ain't deep for you. Just tap two folks and say, it ain't deep for you tonight. It ain't too deep. Just tell me, it ain't too deep. It ain't too deep. The only way you ain't gonna cuss, the only way you ain't gonna fuss, the only way you ain't gonna walk out, the only way you ain't gonna get tired, help me, Lord. He gonna help you. And when he help you, You're going to do what David was able to do in the latter clause of verse 28. This is going to be your thing in reference to your enemies and folk running their mouth. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let your servant, what? Rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. Why? He's going to help me to do it. I'm done tonight.